Begin the current daf Masechtas Brachos daf Mem Hei. Begin in Amin Aleph. Begin with Taisa Divrei Maschil. Taisa begins with the words of the Gemara, the Chanak Dei Umtza, that he's choking on a piece of meat. Taisa comes to explain that this halacha is specifically regarding if one is drinking a cup of water to get the meat down, but not by other beverages, which actually a person has an automatic pleasure from the taste. That is the Gemara broad, that this that we say in the Mishnah, whoever drinks water for his thirst, then it makes a shahakal. Why are we saying specifically for your thirst? It's coming to exclude if someone's drinking water because he's choking on something gets stuck in his throat, so he wants to drink just to get it down, then he's actually not going to make a bracha on that water. So Taisa explains that this halacha, that it's even if you're drinking because one is choking, he says, but this halacha is specifically regarding water, she'ein lo yahanoah, because a person doesn't have any pleasure when he drinks water, kim lishlis mayim litzamay, it's only when he's drinking for his thirst. So therefore, the pleasure that he's getting, that when he's drinking the water now, just because he's choking, that's not considered getting any pleasure to make a bracha, and since you're not drinking for your thirst, just because you're choking, so therefore then it's not applicable to make a bracha. It says taste regarding other beverages, and the person always has pleasure from the taste, then in all situations a person would make a bracha, even if he's choking at something, just to get food down, even if it's for some other purpose, but still he's going to make a bracha because ultimately he's having pleasure from the taste. As taste proves, like the Gemara said previously, even if someone's taking a medicine, but if it tastes good, that by a bracha he has to make a bracha. So here too, where he's taking it just because he's choking, it doesn't make a difference, he's going to make a bracha. Now, however, Taisa brings that Rav Amram Pirush, he explains that this halacha that we're saying regarding water, that one will not make a bracha if he's not drinking because he's thirsty, is the davka lefan of leboi bruch. It's only before he drinks that he doesn't have to make a bracha of l'achar of chayim. But afterwards, regarding what the food does to you after you finished eating, so then you have that same element of what the water has done. It's not regarding you coming to have pleasure. Ultimately, you consume the water, you have to make a bracha achreina. But Rabbi Moshe Pirush, she explains the lahi, though it's not the case. The hayil v'einan, since the person didn't have any pleasure, so afalach lay by a bracha. Even subsequently, one would not require a bracha. This is not considered an act of eating or drinking that requires a bracha, because it's not any pleasure, and therefore even the bracha chayin, the one would not require on that water. Now, we continue the next taste of the maschal. Taste begins with the words of the Gemara. Reb Tarfon, I mean, he says, bari nefashas rabbis v'chulu, which in our Mishnah we learned, this halacha of Reb Tarfon, that he said, what do you make the bracha on water? You make a bar nefashas rabbis. And not like the Tanakhama said that you make a shahakal. So Taisa explains, Pirush, what Reb Tarfon means to say is lafanav, meaning to say, before you drink the water, you make a bar nefashas rabbis. And this that Reb Yisus says in the Gemara, that so what's the halacha l'maisa? So Reb Yisus said, upuk chazi ma'amad devar, go out and see what is the custom of the people. So Taisa says, Mihine and Nago Olam, what's the custom of the world? Lavarich la'achrav, it's to make the bracha, burn the fushes, after one drinks the water, meaning not like Reb Tarfon that says that you make the bracha rishain on the water as a burn the fushes. No, the custom is like the Tanakhama that you make a shahakal when you're drinking because you're thirsty, and subsequently when you're done, afterwards you make a burn the fushes. Because as Taisa explains, we just said that Reb Tarfon meant to say you make a burn the fushes beforehand. Because Abolimitin Lafarshi cannot explain, as one would maybe interpret, that actually the pligi, what's the machlik, is that the Tanakam was saying you make a shahakal, and Reb Tarfon was saying you make a burn the fushes. You might think to say that the machlikis was bila achrav regarding the bracha achrayna, meaning as Taisa explains. You might have said the Tanakama Sava Tanakama holds when he says you make a shahakal on the water, meaning he comes to say the mavarch lafana, that you're only going to make a bracha before you drink with shahakal, v'loy la'achrav, and not after you finish drinking. And of that, Reb Tarfon Sav Reb Tarfon was coming to say when he says you make a bar nefashas, you might say, not like the way we explained the interpretation, that he was talking about the bracha reshaina. No, whoever heard of bar nefashas and bracha reshaina, he was saying that afla achrav yivarach bar nefashas rabbis. He was disagreeing with the Tanakam and says, no, not only do you make a shahakal, water is significant enough that when you finish drinking, you're also going to make a bar nefashas. Says Taisa, you can't say that's the interpretation. Because the Imkain, if that would be the case, then ki parach le'el, when the Gemara previously asked, Mirapapa from Rapapa, the Mavarach, that he said that you make a bracha on the water, both of Shahakal beforehand and after the bar in the fashe. So on that the Gemara asked, wait a second. If you're saying everything that you eat has a bracha achrayna, even water, not just vegetables or really things, even by water, so that was the Gemara was asking all the different opinions, and that was the question of Papa. Wait, we have a Mishnah Masechet Nida that says there are certain things you make a bracha before and then not afterwards. Well, what do you have that you're not making a bracha afterwards? Even water, which is the lowest on the totem pole, you say you're going to make a bracha and burn the fashas. But that as Taisis, if you're going to say the Reb Tarfon is the way you just want to interpret it. That what's agreeing with the Tanakama is that you don't just make a bracha of shahakal on the water, but that you also make a bracha according to burn the fashays. So instead of asking on Rav Papa from our Mishnah, then as the Gira says, lisayeye, you should support Rav Papa. I mean, milsa Rav Tarfon from a different Tarfon, from a different Tana. That's Rav Tarfon, Shuhutana, he's a Tana. And therefore, why ask him in the Mishnah? Rather, you can support him from Rav Tarfon. Rather, there's no support for Rav Tarfon, because when Rav Tarfon is saying you make a burn the fashays, he didn't mean the bracha achrayna. He meant he's disagreeing with the Tanakama. What's the bracha rishayna on the water? Tanakama said shahakla, he said burn the fashays. On that, Rav Yisa said, the minigo elam is this, which is our custom, is that actually we make a bracha rishayna of a shahakal, and we make a bracha achrayna of a burn the fashays. Hangalach Ketzad Mavarchim, we shall return to you the sixth parak in Mesechus Brachas, parak Ketzad Mavarchim. With that, we begin the seventh parak in Mesechus Brachas with Taisus, parak Shleisha Sha'achu, which that begins with the first Tais during Masl. Tais begins with the words of the Mishnah, Shleisha Sha'achu Ka'achas, three people that they eat as one together. Which Taisus comes to explain the question and the answer that Yerushalmi has regarding this halacha of our Mishnah. Taisus brings that Yerushalmi Parak and Yerushalmi, they ask the following question. Hacho, over here, what's this here? This is referring to a Mishnah later on, Anaf Nunam et Alf. Ad Amrit, you say in the Mishnah that when three people eat together, there the wording you say is Ein Rishayin L'chalik. They're not let us separate. Now, V'hacha, but here in our Mishnah, Ad Amrit, you say a different wording. You say Chayavim L'zamin. They have to make a Zimun. That's the text of the question of the Yerushalmi, but the Yerushalmi doesn't explain what is their question. Now, what's obvious from Taisus is what he's coming to say is you can't say that the question of Yerushalmi was regarding the different terminology. That in one Mishnah it says Chayavim L'zamin, the other Mishnah says Ein Rishayin L'chalik, and Allah separate. That can't be, because Va'ata now, L'chayra Ein Zakasha. That's not a difficulty, because to the contrary, because our Mishnah says three people have to eat as one, that's why the next Mishnah says, therefore they're not allowed to separate, because they have a Chiv of Zimin. And actually, V'chein L'kaman, so too later on, the Gemara actually asks this as a question. The Gemara says, what is the Mishnah later on coming to tell us? Tanin l'chad azimna, we already learned this halacha once before. She'einan rishoyin l'chalik d'yinala separate. Haini mishum, Tais explained, and that's because of our Mishnah, the chayav min l'zamin, that you have to make zimun. So therefore, what's the Yerushalmi's question? What's the difficulty? It actually supports each other, these two Mishnahs. Says Tais, v'li nira, to me it would seem, the hachipach. This is what Yerushalmi's question was. On the one hand, hachat amrit, here you say in the Mishnah later on, daf nun, when your wording is the ein rishoyin l'chalik, that you're not allowed to separate, so Taisus learns a deeper understanding. He says, the mashma, what does that sound like when you say you're not allowed to separate? It means to say, im gamru achilasen yachad, if they're finishing their eating together at the same time, so they're coming to bench, so ein rishoyin l'chalik, you're not allowed to separate when you're coming to bench. Avala echad rishoyin ligmer sudasa, but one person could finish his meal ulavarach and to bench birchas amazon kaim chavei before his friends. Meaning, if you're about to bench, then you can't separate because you're about to do it. So then do it together. But that sounds like. But if let's say we're eating together and I want to leave 5 minutes before everyone else, I could go and bench beforehand because I'm not being mechalik the birchas amazon. We're not benching at the same time. I'm leaving earlier. Now the thing is, what Yerushalmi was asking was, but in our Mishnah, when it says v'chayovin l'zamen, that they have an obligation of doing a zimun, that mashma says, that sounds like the chayv zimun alim, that there's an obligation of doing a zimun, which Rabbi Yisimavel mentioned, doing this whole prefatory text. V'einan rishoyin ligmer sedasin zeh b'lay zeh, that sounds different than the Mishnah later on. That sounds like, no, you're not allowed to finish your meal before the other one, because you already have, when you started the meal together, an obligation of doing zimun. So that's a contradiction. So that was the Yerushalmi's question. Now, that Yerushalmi brings a Mishani Shmuel that Shmuel answered over there that, okay, it's not a mechlik, it's not a stira. Kam betchila, kam besayf. Here it's Tomat in the beginning, here's Tomat at the end. Now, on that Yerushalmi continues and says, Ezehu betchila ve ezehu besayf. What does this mean? What's Shmuel answering? It doesn't mean that one's Tomat in the beginning, one's Tomat at the end. So actually brings the Yerushalmi, pliga betre amaroi, is a mechlik is two amaroi. Chadama one says that, nosnu daitim lechel, if they put their intention to eat together, zeh betchila. That is what we mean when it says in the beginning. Alchu kezayis, when they ate a kezayis, zehu besayf. That's at the end. That's one interpretation. Chadam, the other one says the opposite. Alchu kezayis, if they ate an olive, zehu betchila, that's in the beginning. And nos nudaitim lechel, if they gave their intention to eat together, zehu besayf, that's at the end. So that's first the two different versions. And Taisa first brings that Rav Alphas Taifas Derech Rishon Ikka the Riv, he says the primary is the first interpretation, which is the interpretation of Batchila in the beginning is when they gave their intention to eat together. And at the end, which means to say that's the one when you have to go ahead and do the Birch HaZimun, which is the Chayov and Lazamen. And at the end, which is that you don't have a Chiyuv HaZimun that you could separate. You could go ahead and bench beforehand, meaning finish your meal earlier. That's when they ate a kezayis. Now, what does this mean? V'halchei Pirushei. The Tais explains what these terminologies mean, and hence to understand the way the Rif is ruling, like the first version. Nasnu daitim lachol, when it says that they gave their intention to eat kolim, what it means to say is shehischilu mitchila lechol b'yachin. That's what it means, kam betchila, kam b'seif, meaning if their initial intention was that they were going in the beginning to eat together, zeh betchila. That's what it means to say that was in the beginning. Oh, oz vadei choy v'zimna lehem. Then for sure we say that there's an obligation of zimun on them. And that's like the halacha of our Mishnah, that no, the person cannot go ahead and finish his meal earlier and to bench before everyone has even finished their meal, because he already has an obligation of his zimun, because he started their meal together. Achol kezayis, however, the Mishnah later on Daf Nun was talking about that they ate an olive, when it says zeh b'seif, that's at the end, and that's only if it's at the end, but if not, you could finish earlier and you don't have an obligation of a zimun. Kolema, what it means to say is, ema'echad hischol kaidin chaver b'kezayis, if when people were coming to sit down to eat the meal together, they didn't come and eat with the intention of eating together. Because actually, one person had already eaten an olive size of his meal before the other people started eating, so that's not like amanas lechol b'yacha. Oh, azvandai, the most definitely, in that situation, im gamer sudas and yachad, look, that's what the Mishnah later on is saying. That if they finish their meal together, then chayovim lazaman, they have to do zimun, which that was the wording of the Mishnah later on, that ein rishon l'chalik, they can't separate. Aval Rishon Ligmer Zebele Zeh Olavach. But yes, as we made the inference, as we explained to Yerushalmi's question, the Mishnah later on was sounding like, but you could finish your meal earlier than them and you could bench. Yeah, because you never started your meal with the intention of eating together. You happened to eat together, but one person already started Kazayah's size before the other ones. Then actually, only if you finish together B'Seif, then you wouldn't be able to be L'Chalik. But it's not the same thing as our Mishnah, which is a Chiv of Zimun. You came and end earlier because that was Mitchila. That was where you started with the intention of eating together. So Tosfos explained the question of Yerushalmi that we said from our Mishnah, it sounds like that from the moment they start eating together, there's already an obligation of a Zimun, and you can't even finish your meal earlier than the others and to go ahead and bench by yourself. Whereas the Mishnah later on sounds like that it's only if they already finished eating together, then they cannot separate, and then there's a Chiv of Zimun. So Tosfos explained Yerushalmi's answer, at least in the first version, which is the way the Rif ruled, was that when they started with the intention of eating together, okay, we're all sitting down together at the same time, then it starts right then at that moment an obligation of a zimun. And then yes, you can't finish your meal earlier than the rest and bench by yourself. But like the Mishnah later on, if let's say one person started by himself and he already ate a kezayis and then two people join him, that's not like that as if they made the intention of eating together. Then it's only in l'b'seif. If they finished at the same time, that's when there's going to be a chiv of Birchas HaZimun, that you can't be mechalik, but one person in that situation actually could finish the meal earlier than the rest and bench by himself. Continuing the next taste of Masl, taste begins with the words of the Mishnah, that achol tevel im mezamnalav. If one of the participants of that three people eating ate untithed produce, then you cannot do zimun with him. Which taste first explains why is tevel different than truma, and also many different halachas regarding combinations of different people for zimun. Now, as we learned in the Mishnah, that if one person ate tevel, untithed produce, without taking off trumas and maises, you can't have him as part of the zimun. Now, that is as tame, it's a wonder, because the Amar be'erich in the Gemara says, Ne'erich in the Abdallah and Alf. Hakol mitstarfen lezimun. It says that everyone combines for zimun, that you could do zimun together. Kahanim, Levim, Yisraelim, they all could do zimun. Says the Gemara Parach, the Gemara asks, Peshita, why would you think Kahanim, Levim, why would you think anyone's different than the other ones regarding three people making a zimun together, benching together, to do Rabbi Yisai Nevarech? Well, Mishani, the Gemara answers, Lo Yitzricha, no, it was necessary to tell you that Avagav, the Kohen Nechel Truma, although the Kohen, who's one of the three, is eating Truma, the Yisrael, Chulin, and the Yisrael is eating Chulin. Now, the Yisrael cannot eat the Truma that the Kohen's eating. Still, we're saying that they're going to combine for zimun. So Amos says, what you see from there is that Avagav the Truma is for Yisrael, although the Truma is forbidden by the Yisrael, but Achrisha HaKoin, Yochel Tzarf Im Yisrael, Lechel B'chulin, at least it works one way. At least the Koin could eat from what the Yisrael is eating, which is the Chulin, Simit Tzarf and Lezim, and then it's like as if they're all eating together, because ultimately, for at least from one of them, all of them could be eating, the Koin could eat from the Yisrael, so therefore they combine for Zeman. So therefore, as Taizis of Achinami, then here also, Nehidechad Minai Ochel Tevel, although one of the people eating over there is eating untithed produce, the Ein Rolachim, where even for him himself it's not worthy, but you're right, the other ones cannot eat from him, because he's eating something aser, But amayim mezamenin. But why would you say they cannot do zimun together? But he could be eating from what they're eating. So why is it different than the kohen with the Yisrael, where although they cannot eat from him, he could eat from them. Here also, although they can't eat from him, but he could eat from them. So that should be valid for zimun. Says Taisav Yeshlim, what you could say is no, because the achilas tavel, that one of the three that he's eating the untithed produce, lav shma achila. It doesn't. It's not even considered like as if he's eating anything. Because the lechazi af lekain, because even a kain can't eat tevel. No one could eat tevel. Untithed produce is forbidden. So it's like he's not eating. So therefore, you didn't have three people, quote unquote, eating together to make a zimun. Whereas avol truma by truma lechal apachas ruui lekain aichla. At least the truma at least is fit for the kain who he himself is eating it. So although it's not worthy for the other ones, but he's doing an act of eating and he is eating with the other people because he could combine with them. But whereas by tevel, it's not considered eating, and therefore. And that's not going to be considered three people eating. And therefore, Taisa says, but why then? The same thing would apply. Even if all three are eating tevel, there's not going to be an obligation of zimun, because it's not about that they can't join with him. It's like as if no one's eating. Because I mean, like the Gemara says about Bakama, the Tzadi Dalad, it says, Harisha guzzles sachidim. Someone steals a measurement of wheat. But chana, va'afa, va'achle, he grinds it, he bakes it, and he eats it. Umavarchle, and he makes a brach on it. In mavarchle, amanites. That's not considered a blasphemy. It's considered blasphemy. It's like cursing God because you're stealing it and making a brach on it. And therefore, the eating of tevel is not considered an eating to go ahead and also make a brachas haziman on it. Now, says Taisis, but mikan, from this halacha that we mentioned before, that two Yisraelim that are eating chulin could combine with the kohen who's eating truma for zimun. And the reason for that is because the kohen could at least eat from what they're eating, even though they can't eat from what he's eating. Hayyomer Rabbein Yehuda, the Rabbein Yehuda would say, the shleisha sha'achlu, if you have three people eating together, vo'echad hayyom mudrhan nomen ashnayim, and one person was forbidden on a vow to have benefit from the other two people. And he's not eating from them because he's actually forbidden from a vow to eat from them. But we all come, mashallah, he's eating from his own food, but they're all three eating together. Yochel is starving mom lazimun. He could join with them in the brichas azimun. Because why? Because you're right, he can't eat from them, but they could eat with him. And that's the same svara that we said as with the truma, with the kohen and the Yisrael. So therefore, although he can't eat from them, they could eat from him, therefore they could goodbye. And says Taisus Vachain, so too is Le'in Hanizer Mipashal Nachri. Someone who's careful not to eat pas akum, the bread of a non-Jew. He could combine with others who are eating bread from a non-Jew, because since the one was eating the non-Jewish bread, he could eat the Jewish bread, and also his eating is considered an eating for those who hold that it's permitted to eat from pas akum, so therefore it's considered a combination. Avalim shloshin medarin hana zemizeb. It says, Taisus, let's see, all the three people that are eating together, each one is forbidden on the vow to eat from the other one, so then aim and starf, and then they cannot combine. Because avapi shechayim lishal anidram, and Taisus for wanting a question, although they could make a request by a sage, which will undo their vow, and therefore actually there is a way that they could eat from each other, but the hashtamila ishli, but ultimately, says Taisus, right now they did not make a request to undo their neder, and therefore right now each one is forbidden to eat from the other one, and therefore that's not considered a combined eating because each one, no one could eat from no one, and therefore that's not going to be considered valid to make a zimun together. So Taisus had told us a question from why is tevel different, where our Mishnah said that you cannot do zim with him, even though that he can eat, they can eat from him, but he could eat from their chulin. Why is it different than truma, where the kohen could combine with two Yisraelim, because although they cannot eat from him, he could eat from them. So Taisus says no, because it's not about some eating from others, it's the fact that that one who's eating the tevel is not considered like he's eating at all, whereas the truma is considered eating at least for the kohen. And therefore Taisus says that even three people eating tevel, they cannot do zimun because it's not considered like an act of eating, as we find by the Gemara and Baba Kama that says, in zimavarach elmanites. Now based on this, Rabbeinu Yehuda says that you have three people that are eating together, and one of them is forbidden on a vow to have benefit from the other two, they could combine for zimun because they could eat from him. But if all three are forbidden on a vow, one from the other, they cannot combine. And the same thing would apply when one person is eating pas akum, that one person doesn't eat pas akum, he could combine with the other two, because although he cannot eat from them, they could eat from him. And therefore, that would be a valid combination for the bracha of zimun. The next taste of Maschal, taste begins with the words of the Gemara, b'koilu shel Moshe, in the voice of Moshe. Taste explains what exactly is the proof from here that Hashem, what his voice was. In other words, in the Gemara, Shimon ben Pazi said that the Metargim, the interpreter, cannot have his voice louder than the one who's leaning from the Torah. How do we know this? Says the Gemara, from Moshe Rabbeinu. It says, Moshe Yadavah, Moshe was speaking, and God was responding in his voice. Now, from the fact it says, it means the same voice as Moshe Rabbeinu, that's how Hashem was speaking. So So now Tosfos says, "Vim Temi, begin to say." Tosfos ask us to take a second look over here, because Hechi Maisi Raya Mimaisha. What is this proof of Moshe Rabbeinu? The difficulty is, but if you want to bring a proof that the Metargim, the interpreter, cannot speak louder than the one who is doing the recital, Tzarch Lasuya, you would have to bring a proof that Moshe from Moshe Rabbeinu that Hayim Metargim. He was the interpreter. Moshe Rabbeinu was amplifying the word of God to the Jewish people by Maimon Har Sinai, just like what a Metargim does when the one who's laying the parasha to the people. And you would have to say that Valayhayim Meirim Kaila Yisim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he was not speaking louder than HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shal Yukar, that God was the one who was reciting, and Moshe Rabbeinu was the Metargim. The problem is, Vahu maybe, but his proof is, he's bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's referring to God, HaYukari, who he was the reciter, Umayshah Hayim Metargim, and Moshe was the interpreter. But it comes out that what he's essentially saying is that the reciter, that God, was not speaking louder than Moshe Rabbeinu the Metargim. But that's not the halacha you're trying to bring a raya. You're trying to bring a raya that the Metargim shouldn't be louder than the Kari. Why you bring a proof that Hashem used the same voice as Moshe, which is saying that the Kari was not louder than the Metargim? You're supposed to say the Metargim was not louder than the Kari. So appears Rav Alphas, the Rif, explains, what does this mean that when we said Hashem spoke B'Kailo Shel Moshe in the voice of Moshe, it's based on the following assumption. Mistama Moshe, we could assume that Moshe Rabbeinu, b'chol koichei hayayina, when he was amplifying and translating what God was saying, he was using all his strength in the loudest voice that he could, because his voice had to reach to all the Jewish people. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo hayitzarach lehirim kaylei, Moshe Hashem, so to speak, didn't have to elevate his voice. He wasn't speaking to the Jewish people. He was speaking just to Moshe, and Jewish people could hear, could see, but it was Moshe Rabbeinu who was speaking to the Jewish people. Now, that's what the proof was saying. And even so, Hashem was elevating his voice. Why? So that the voice of Moshe Rabbeinu, who he was hametargim, he was interpreter, should not be ram yaser mikoyle shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should not be louder than the voice of Hashem, that he was doing the recital. From here is the proof that the translator, the interpreter, should not be louder than the Kairi. What's the proof? From the fact that Hashem elevated his voice, amplified it, even though he didn't, quote, have to. Why did he do that? Because he didn't want Moshe Rabbeinu, who was doing the Tirgum, to be louder than him. And that proves that the Metargim is not supposed to be louder than the Kair. See, when the next Taisa of Maaskal Taisa begins with the words of the Gemara, Imratzu Lazamun, if they want to do a Zimun, if they want to do a joint bracha, Im Azamun, they cannot do a Zimun. That is, the Gemara brought a Machlekes regarding if two people are eating together as one. Machlekes Rav and Rabbi Yechon. One says, if they want to do a Zimun, they could. Another one says, they cannot do. So Taisa brings the Pirish Rashi. Rashi explains, which it's not really Rashi over here on these words of the Gemara, but possibly what Taz is referring to, as he shortly quotes from later on, where Abaye mentions a halacha, both regarding Hamaitzi and the bracha achrena of Birchas Hamazon. From here, you could also infer that when we're talking about the Man Dama that says that Eim Hazamnin is also regarding that when two people eat them together, not only that one person doesn't make the Birchas Hamazon with the two of them, but that it's also regarding the bracha rishayna of Hamaitzi. So therefore, Taz says, Rashi explains that V'cheinlin Hamaitzi b'shahar brachas, that the same thing, this halacha that we're talking about here in the Gemara, in Ratz Lazamen Eim Hazamnin, is both regarding the bracha rishayna of Hamaitzi and the bracha rishayna of the Birchas Hamazon. So it's regarding Hamaitzi and other brachas that Ein ha'echad mevarach lahitzi chaver. We're regarding a bracha rishayna, whatever you're eating, bread or some other foods, that if it's just two people, you're not going to have one person fulfilling the obligation of the other person. Where do you see this? Because like Rabbi Hoda Amar Abaye, that's what we said, this is where Rashi actually says it, because later on the Gemara brings from Abaye that he says, Naktinu, we have a tradition that Shnaim Shalchlu Ka'achas, when two people eat together together as one. That mitzvah lechalik, there's a mitzvah for them to separate, v'levaruch kalech la'atzmoy, and that each one should make their own bracha. So over there Rashi explains, what does that mean? Bein birchas ha'maitzi, bein birchas ha'mazon, that whether it's the first bracha, the bracha rishayna, that have ha'maitzi on the bread, or the bracha after eating the bread, that have birchas ha'mazon, that either one, that's what Abaye says the tradition is, that we should separate and not one person making the bracha for the other person. That was Lashon Rashi. Lakaman later on. It says, Taisus, Balina Hira. That doesn't seem to be the correct interpretation. Why? Because Del El Perik, Eitzim of Archon, earlier in the previous Perik, the Lama Testament Aleph, the Gemara brings Bu'ubdi de Barkapar. There was a story with Barkapar that he had his two students there and they brought three different types of foods. Then Nasan Barkapar Rishos Le'echad Levarach. Barkapar gave permission to one of the students to make the bracha. Vishnayim Havahasam. And that was for a bracha rishayna, and there were two people over there. And even so, he gave permission to one of them to make the bracha, and what? And to fulfill the obligation of the second with his bracha. So you see that for the bracha rishayna, the halacha is that you do have one person make the bracha for the other one. V'hoi, more of a taste says, and even if Ihava Shleish Asim, even if you can say, let's say there was three over there. Let's say Bar Kapara is one of the three. Still says Taisa, you could prove that the Bracha Rishayin is not the same thing as the Bracha Achrayna. Rashi wants to equate that just like we say in Meretzel Zaman, Emezamnin, that this opinion who holds that if there's two people, you don't do a Zeman, mean you don't do a joint Bracha Zamazin, that the same thing would apply to the Bracha Rishayin, and Rashi holds it's the same thing, like you see Abaya later on, that it's the same thing. Taisa wants to prove that's not necessarily the same thing. Raya number one that he just said was, no, you see actually for Bracha Rishayin, that one is might see someone else with a Bracha. And moreover, he says, even if you want to say that there was three people over there, we could still prove it, because Laha Yishamei LaParis. What was talking about over there? There was produce over there, which is something that was the bracha of regarding the shlakos, the cooked vegetables, that you don't do zimun on cooked vegetables. And even so, Bar Kapara said to one of them to make the bracha. So therefore, the proof is that you see that even when you don't do a zimun by the bracha achrayna, which you don't do zimun on Paris, still you see that for the bracha rishayna, one person can fulfill the obligation of the other person. And says Taisa another proof, we also say later on, the al hama'or, we say regarding the bracha that one makes on something that you look at, on the light, one person makes a bracha for them all. Now that's something that you're being made to others, even though there's no bracha achrayna on ma'or, on the light. So Alkein Nerulis, the Tesis says, not like Rashi. The bracha Rishayna, by the bracha before the food, yeah, Maitzin Zezeh, Shnayim Lekulam, that actually everyone agrees that one person could fulfill someone else's obligation with the bracha. And this that we're saying, the Meretzel Zaman Emezamnin, is specifically the bracha Achreina Birchaz Amazin, that then you don't do, then everyone makes their own bracha, but the bracha Rishayna, that's not the case. It's not by both Hamaitzi and by the Birchaz Amazin. It's only by Birchaz Amazin that cannot be Birchaz Amazin, but actually the bracha of Hamaitzi, yeah, even by two people, one person can make the bracha for them both. And says Teish about Tama, the reason is, since they're coming to eat together, their consciousness, their intent is to join one with the other. So therefore, it's like together, it's like one, it's unity. So one person can make the bracha to fulfill the other one's obligation. Whereas what we're talking about here in our Gemara, regarding the bracha at the end of the meal, when the meal is over, then people are taking leave one from the other. Then everyone actually has to make a bracha for himself. It's only by three people, which is significant. That's when one person can make a bracha for them all. But that's what this other opinion is saying, but two people in Ratzel Zaman. Why is that different than the bracha we're showing, according to what Taisa is explaining? Because here you're taking leave, in contrast to when you're starting over the meal, when you're actually coming together. Now, Taisa says, v'yesh metatzen, that those who explain that the way Taisa's opinion is, the reason is that there's a difference between the bracha of Hamaitzi, meaning the bracha Rishayna, to Lahavikim Drabanan, which the bracha Rishayna is only rabbinic. Therefore, it's a more lenient type of a bracha, so you could have, yeah, one person fulfilling someone else's obligation. But Birchas a Muslim, regarding benching, Shemidei Raisa, which is biblical, oh, Lashamach Mir, they were stringent that you just can't have one, someone else exempt the other one's obligation, unless you have a combination of three people, which that's considered a significant amount, then you could. So therefore, those are two interpretations of Taisis, according to his opinion, not like Rashi, that the halacha of two people not being valid is only by the bracha achreina, by Birchas a Muslim, but by the bracha Rishayna holds, yeah, you could always have one person fulfilling the other one's obligation. Continuing the next Taisis, the Ramaskal, Taisis begins with the words of the Gemara. Three people ate as one, that ain't Rishayin L'chalik, they're not allowed to separate one from the other. Which Taisa explains, what is the proof from here, that, like, which regarding the Machlekes Amarim, we're talking about in the Gemara, that two people cannot do Zimun. As we said in the Gemara, that two people are eating together. There's a Machlekes Rav and Rabbi Yechanan, one says, okay, if they want to do Zimun with just two people, they could. Another one says, no, they cannot do. The Gemara brings a Raya from this, that we learn in the Mishnah later on, that says, three people eat as one, that as our taste of Masl is going on, that they're not allowed to separate. So the deek the Gemara makes is, oh, you see only three people, then they cannot separate. But two people eating together, then no, then we don't say that halacha. So taste brings that Mefarish Rashi explains, what's the proof that you see that, oh, three people we do Zeman, but regarding two people, then we're not going to do Zeman, which means to say that even if they want to, because if you would say that if two people want to, they could do Zeman, so then, why are you saying that ain rishon l'chalik ko'echem mipnei hashnayim? Why are you saying that you can't have one person separate from the other two? Why would that be problematic? Kiven de beis nam mezamnin, since you're going to hold that even two people could do zimun, so lezel hu, let him go away. V'haloi mapkim birchas zimun. He's not excluding the halacha of zimun being done. So therefore, that was the Gemara's question, showing that you see, obviously, that shnayim sha'achlu ka'achas, that if two people are eating together, that they can't do zimun. Because if you could do zimun, then why would it be that three people are in Rosh Hashanah Chalak? That's Rashi's interpretation. It says Taisa, however, Tema, that's a wonder. Dilma Tema Dein Rosh Hashanah Chalak. How would that be a raya then? Maybe the reason why they're not allowed to separate is no, maybe two people could do zimun. But Mishum the Yiftru Lishlishim and Birchas Zimun, because you're excluding the third guy, the guy who's leaving, he's not going to have the Bracha of Zimun. And Vagamhu Ainu Lafkim and Birchas Zimun. He also should not exclude himself from the obligation of Birchas Zimun. So what's the Raya? Maybe two people could do Zimun. But the reason why he's saying they cannot separate is for that third guy himself who's leaving. So rather be a Shlimit, therefore Taisa says a different interpretation. The Iker Brachasi, the primary question of the Gemara, is actually Samech HaSeifa. It's actually relying on the end of that Mishnah Daf Nun. Not from the part that the Gemara quotes. The Ketani, the Mishnah there says, okay, that's regarding three people. And the Mishnah says, Dalet. Let's say there's four people eating together. Still says, the Mishnah, Ein Rishon L'Chalik, not let us separate. Which tells us, Avagav de Iker Shnayim Mikan Obeiz Mikan, that even though if they're going to separate, you're not going to have just two, you're going to have two and two, and still we're saying that they're not let us separate. Oh, from there is a Raya that two people cannot do Zimun. Because if you could do Zimun, then even one person is not exempting himself from his obligation because he left with two and two, and two people could do a zimun. So therefore, that's the proof that the Gemara is bringing when it says shleisha in rishon l'chalik. It's not really going on that part. So it's tesev avakamay v'chulu. It's like when it says etc., which the Gemara writes that many times. It's coming to say that the proof is from the continuation of that Mishnah. It says tesev kai gav netim tzabaram kaim. It's actually you find the same idea in many different places, that when it brings a proof, it's not necessarily from those words of the Mishnah or the Brisa that it's bringing. It's actually bringing what's not explicit. It's bringing from what's later on. And therefore, again, the Taisa says the Raya has to be from when there's the case of four, because the case of three is not a Raya, because you could say that then they can't be Mechalik for the third guy, not for the two, because maybe two could do Zimun. But when you say four cannot be Mechalik, and then you have two and two, obviously because two people themselves cannot do Zimun. That was the Gemara's question. Now, says Taisa, Babatema, but still, the interpretation we just gave is a wonder, because in Cain, if that's the case, I might learn Makshim and I say for you. Why wouldn't you ask explicitly from that part? If you're bringing down, why bring down the words that are not where the question's from the Resha, just bring down the case of Seifa from Dala, why bring down the words of Shlesha? So Cain Pierce Rabbein Yehuda, the different Rabbein Yehuda actually gives a different interpretation. He says, Devadei Parachim Resha, most definitely the question was from the words brought down in the Gemara from the Resha, from the case of three, that they cannot separate. Vachakamar, and this is what the Gemara's question was. The lekala meim, because you cannot say, like Tosis' question was, the mishuma yachid kamar, that it's because of the individual, that third guy, they cannot separate because he's not going to have zimun. Because them kain, if that would be the case, the way Tosis was asking on that case, what's the raya? Then havalei lemeim, and then the words in the Mishnah should have been, in hayachid rishoy l'chalik. It should have said, the individual cannot separate. From the fact that it doesn't use that terminology, it says they cannot separate, it's obviously going on all of them, which means to say that yes, even if one person leaves, forget about him, that even the other two are not going to be able to do the Zimun, which that proves that two cannot do Zimun. Or Inami, or also, it should have said, Ein Echad Mehem Rishon L'Chalik, that not any one of them could separate. Aval, but from Midiktani, from the fact that it says, Ein Rishon L'Chalik, they cannot separate. Mashma says Taisis says Rabbi Yehud, it sounds like Mikulu Pakazimun, that if one person is gonna leave, it's not just a problem for him, it's a problem that all of them are gonna lose the Zimun in the Stalak Echman if one of them leaves. And that's because, like we said, because yes, that's what the Gemara's proof is trying to bring, that because two people cannot do Zimun. So Taisis brought that the question on Rashi's interpretation, he said the proof was from the fact that it says they cannot separate. Now if two people could do Zimun, but what I mean, even if one of them goes away, you're gonna be left with two people that could do the Zimun. That was what the proof was according to Rashi. On that Taisa asks, wouldn't it? It's not a Raya. Maybe the prohibition of one person leaving is simply because that one person is not going to have the Zimun, but not because the two left over. Maybe two left over could still do Zimun. So therefore, Taisa explains actually the Raya is from the continuation of that Mishnah, that even four cannot separate. Even though when you separate four, you'll have two and two, and then you could have each one doing it. Obviously, that's a Raya, that two people cannot do a Zimun. But Taisa wonders, according to that interpretation, then why don't you ask explicitly from the Seif of that Mishnah and bring it, and why are we bringing the Resha? So if Rabbein Yehuda says, no, the question is from the Resha. But the terminology that it says, Einam Rishon L'Chalik, sounds like that the prohibition is on all three of them, and not just one, which that would tell us that all of them would lose the Zimun, and not just that one that's leaving. That was the Gemara's proof on the question, on the Mandamah holds, that two people could do Zimun. Now, Ketim Tamad Beis, we begin with Taisa Mimaskal. Taisa says the words of the Gemara, V'hameya Nashi, but 100 women could trade Gabri Daman is like two men. Which Taisa explains, why did the Gemara use the terminology that 100 women is like two men? in their proof that they're trying to bring that two men could do Zeman if they wanted to. And that is, the Gemara brought a proof that two people could do Zeman from the Brice that says that women could do Zeman by themselves. Three women could make a Birchas HaZeman. Why? Because 100 women is like two men, and still we see they could do Zeman by themselves. Obviously, two men could do Zeman. So Tais is bothered by the wording that 100 women is like two men. Why does it use that terminology? If they have a halacha like a rabbim, so which is like 100 men, so why are you saying like two men? And if not, so then, like the Gemara sounds like they're trying to say, so then they're like one man. Why do you say they're like two men? So Tais explains, because the Gemara is trying to say is le'inyan kibbutz tefillah, regarding a gathering of a minyan for davening, and le'inyan kol davar shebasar, regarding anything that requires a quorum of 10 people. That's what the Gemara, the Brice, is saying, that women don't have the chashivas like men. So therefore, they don't have a halacha of 10 men. Now, obviously, we're saying they're not like men, because if they did, then they would be able to combine for a quorum of 10 people. Now, but that's what the Gemara is saying is v'afala hachi, but even so, but regarding birchas hamazon, says the Braisa, chashvin lukash leisha, for that we're going to consider them as three. Now, but v'hu adem l'shnayim. The same thing would be even for two women, because we're saying over here that there's no obligation for them to make birchas hamazon, but they have the permission, so therefore they're like three men, but essentially that means to say that just like two men too. And therefore the Gemara, the Braisa picks the wording of two, because as Tais explains, you can't say that, okay, we're saying they're not like three men. They don't have an obligation of a zeman. You're saying that if they want to, they could. So why are you saying like two? Just say they're like one man. Because no, meaning to say that they can't do zeman, because the ketani, because that's not true. The Brice is telling us that women could do zeman by themselves. Now, one man, according to everyone, cannot do zeman. So obviously, the women have like a middle type of a status. Yes, they're more than one man, and therefore they could do zeman. And that's actually the proof that the Gemara is bringing, that two people could do zeman, but they're not like three men, and therefore they don't have an obligation. So that's why we're picking the number two. It's more than one, therefore you could do zeman, but it's less than three, and therefore there's no obligation of zeman. And that's why it picks it specifically that it's like two men. Now, for Rashi, Pirush Rashi explains a little differently. He says that the reason why we pick kitrei like two men means le'inya chayva, not regarding the fact that they could do zeman, but rather from the fact that they don't have to do zeman. Tais said it like that they could. Rashi says like regarding the obligation. De'in chayavis l'zaman, they don't have to do zeman. But v'mrotz, if they want to mezamnes, they could do zeman, which that's what the Gemara is saying. V'adin l'shnayim, same thing would apply to two women, that or to two men. That the same thing would apply. That the if a person wants to do, they could do it. But again, that's the two different interpretations. Rashi and Tais, why are we saying like two men? Either like Tais is to say that they could do zeman, or like Rashi, which is that they don't have to do zeman, which is like two men that don't have a chiv of zeman. But again, if they want to, they could. And again, that's the same thing for two men, which the Gemara is trying to bring a right to. Now, continuing the next taste of Masla, the taste begins with the words of the Gemara that no, Shani Hassan, there it's different, the Ikadeus. There's at least different consciousnesses, different opinions. Which first taste is evaluates why isn't the custom today that women do a Birchas HaZeman by themselves when women are eating together a meal? And moreover, do the women actually fulfill their obligations in Birchas HaMazon from men when they listen, which is like what the Zeman is, that it's one person making the bracha for others, since they don't understand Lashon HaKadosh. There's a Gemara brought a raya from the Brice that said women are mezamnes la'atzman, which you see that obviously two men could do zeman by themselves, because 100 women is like two men, and still we see they could do zeman by themselves. Now the Gemara rejects and says no. Over there by women is different, because although they don't have a chashivas of three men regarding the obligation, but there's at least three different opinions when you have three different people, and therefore they could make zeman if they want to, whereas two men, you still don't have 3 days. Now, that says Tais, however, Mekan Mashma, from here it sounds like, the Noshim Yuchelis Lezamen La'atman, that women could do Zeman by themselves. V'chein Asu B'nais Rabbeinu Avram, it says, and this is actually what the daughters of Rabbeinu Avram, who is Cham of Rabbeinu Yehuda, who is the father-in-law of the Rabbeinu Yehuda, we mention often in Tais's, they did this, these daughters, Al Pi Avin, based on what their father told them, to go ahead when three girls were eating together, they made a Birchas HaZeman. Umi, however, says Tais, that's not the custom of the world. You don't find women eating together, three women together, making a Birchas HaZeman. And says Tais, the Bakasha is difficult. My Leinago, why don't they have this custom? Meniktani, Mezamnes, from the fact that it says that they do Zeman, Mashman, the comment sounds like it's saying the Chayobis Lezaman, that they have to do a Zeman. So B'yesh Lamed Tais says what he started off by saying, that no, when it says the Noshim Mezamnes La'atzma, when the Brice said the women do Zeman by themselves, I know that what it means to say is Imratzu Lezaman, if they want to do Zeman, then Mezamnes, then they could do Zeman, but not that there's an obligation. He says also the wording sounds like this. From that the Braisa continues and says, but noshim ve'avodim, women and slaves. It says in Ratzel Zaman, if they want to do Zeman, that a mezamnen, then they cannot do Zeman, as the Gemara later on explains, because of licentiousness, of a pritzus, to do them together would be inappropriate. But it sounds like that they cannot do, even if they want to, which sounds like that the ratio that says by women themselves, that would sound like, but that if they want to, they can, but not that there's an obligation. Vayi, moreover, Tais says a proof that there's no obligation for women to do Zeman is because the Medamalei HaGemara L'Shnayim, we find that the Gemara compares the 300 or 100 women to 2 men. Again, Mashman D'Chayv Aleka, that sounds like that there's no obligation. It's just that if they want to, and therefore the women don't do it because they don't have the obligation. Now, Taisa asked, but Bahadikam Rish Erechim, but this we find in the beginning of Masechtas Erechim, and Daf Gimel and Alf, that it says, Hakol Mechayavim B'Zimun. It says, everyone is obligated in Zimun. And the Gemara says, what's Hakol coming to include? Said the Gemara, Lasu Yanashim, coming to include women. So you see that women are Mechayavim B'Zimun. Says Taisa, no, Le'in Rishus Kamer. That was regarding, when we're saying everyone's included in Zimun, it means regarding that they have that volition, they have that option. But V'Loi L'Nechayva wasn't regarding the obligatory. The Hakol was including the women for Rishus, not for Chayva. Now Taisa continues and says, okay, Benoshim, regarding women, Tzarchin, one has to analyze. Im Yaitzis Bebrichas Azimet Shel Anoshim, do they fulfill their obligation with the joint barcha of Brichas Amazin when men do this, when one person is benching for everyone else, and the women are listening, do the women fulfill their obligation? Ma'achar She'im Avinas, since they don't understand the words, maybe you're not going to fulfill your obligation when you're hearing that bracha, as one would say with Shemei Ka'ini, you can't really say that you're fulfilling your obligation because you don't really know what's being said. Now says to his Biyesh Mavin Raya Shayitz, someone are being approved that they do fulfill their obligation. The Amla Kaman, from the fact that the Gemara later on this Amid says the following halacha, it says, Sefer Mavarch. If there's two people eating together, one is a Talmudic scholar, what's called a Sefer, and one is a boor who doesn't know halacha, doesn't know how to bench. So the halacha is Sefer Mavarch, so the Talmudic makes the Berchaz Amazin, Ubor Yaitze, and the ignoramus, he fulfills obligation by listening along. So Mekan Mashim, here it sounds like, Sha'afa Nashim Yaitze Berchaz Amazin, Shalana, so to the women, although they're like the boor, like the, in that way that they don't really understand, but they fulfill the obligation by listening along. But Miu, however, Taisa says, Yesh Litchis Oisarai, you could reject that proof. Because the Shani Bor, ignoramus is different. Shemevim Lashna Kaidish. At least he understands the Lashna Kaidish, the Hebrew language. Videg Tzas Maikame, he knows a little bit what's being said in the Birchas HaMazon. Aval, any day Lavarch, just he doesn't know how to make the Birchas HaMazon. But although you can't say it, but at least he understands. Avanashim, but women, She'ain Mavinas Club, they don't understand the Lashna Kaidish at all. Matzamemi, you could say, Delay Nafke, maybe they don't fulfill the obligation when they're listening to the men. At least in the Taisa's times, that the women didn't know the Lashon HaKodesh. Ah, v'hadam rimim mekila, but then what are you going to say? We're going to know what it says in the Gemara, Masechet Megillah, on the Yedzayin and Aleph. It says, loyez, someone that speaks a different language, he doesn't know Lashon HaKodesh. It says, shashama ashuris, if he heard the Megillah in the Hebrew language, yatzah is to fulfill the obligation. So what do you mean? You see, even someone that doesn't understand Lashon HaKodesh could fulfill it. So why are we saying that possibly the women don't fulfill their obligation with the Berachas HaMazon? Says Taisa, Pirsumi Nisa B'Amashani. When it's just a publicized a miracle in general, which is the purpose of the Megillah, that's different. That you don't really have to understand really so much the words that are being said. Kedamina Hasim, like the Gemara itself says over there later on, the Yud Chesem and Aleph, says regarding the words in the Megillah, Hachtarnayim B'nei HaRamachim, the Gemara says, Miyadin Ma'iniyu, do you think we even know what the translation of the words are? And even so, we fulfill our obligation with the Kriya of the Megillah when we're listening, because the primary thing is publicizing the miracle, and even someone who speaks a different language, he gets the gist of what's being said. But regarding Birchas HaMazon, you have to know really what's being said, and therefore Taisa says, you could say that maybe the women do not fulfill the obligation when the men are saying, because they don't really understand the Lashon HaKodesh. So ultimately, Taisa told us that from the Brice, it sounds like, when it says, Nashim that they Mevarchas La'atzman, it means to say that they could make Zimun for themselves. As Taisa brought, that actually was the custom of the daughters of Ben Avraham, that based on what their father told them. Which Taisus asks, so why don't we have the custom that our women do this? What do you mean? Taisus asks it as a question for us. Sounds like Mizamna, sounds like that there's an obligation of Zimun. And Taisus answers, no. It just means that they have the option if they want to. And when the Brisa says that they Mizamna's Latzman, it means if they want to, they could. And Taisus brings a proof actually for the next halacha of the Brisa, that when it says that women and slaves, it means if they want to, they can't do Zimun, because the Pritzus, that sounds like an erasure, means to say when the Mizamna's, if they want to. Another proof he brings is regarding, from this, that the Gemara brings the braisa of women to resolve the machlekes regarding two men, and there the machlekes is if they could regarding rishus, not if they have to, and therefore that's the same thing with the 300 or 500 women. Although the Gemara in the beginning of Erechin says, when it says Hakol Chayav Mezimin, it includes women. Taisa says, no, that inclusion is regarding Rishus, not regarding obligation. Now then Taisa discusses regarding if women who don't know Lashon HaKodesh, if they fulfill their obligation of Birchas HaMazon when they listen to the men. Taisa wants to bring a Raya. What do you mean? You see later on the Gemara that the Bur is Yaitse Hischiv Birchas HaMazon by listening to the Sefer. And that Taisa rejects the proof because there at least he understands Lashon HaKodesh. He just doesn't know how to make the Bracha, but the women don't understand Lashon HaKodesh at all, and therefore wouldn't bring a Raya. And notice it's not a Raya from the Megillah that only someone that speaks a foreign language who doesn't understand Lashon HaKodesh fulfills, because there again it's just Parsumi Nisa, and that's different than Birchas HaMazon. Now we continue with Taisa the Ramas. Taisa begins with the words of the Gemara. Ihachi, if that's the case, Ema Sefer. As we mentioned before, the Gemara brought a raya that two men could do zimun. What's the raya? From the fact that we learned in the Brice that Nashim Amazamnis La'atzman, and we said that 100 women is like two men, and still we see that women could do zimun by themselves. Obviously, so which is the equivalent of two men, that two men could do zimun by themselves. Now the Gemara says, no, two men cannot. Three women, although they're not like three men regarding the obligation, but at least the ikkadei is at least three different opinions, that's chashav enough to do a zimun, but not by two men. But then the Gemara asks, but as our Taisa quotes, that's Ihach, if that's the case, Ema Seifa. Look at the Seifa. It says that women and slaves, if they want to do Zeman, they cannot do Zeman. Why not? You have three different opinions. You have two slaves and one woman, or whatever it is. You have three people. Why can't you do Zeman? So Taisa actually says, Ligar Sina, the Girsa should not be Ihachi, that if that's the case. Because that wording sounds like that the question only began after this last Gemara's answer. But Tay says it's not true, because the Afilim Ikara, even before we had this answer, the Gemara of saying that the Reish is different, that this day is, still now we have a Muslim Mifrach Mesefer. We could have still asked from the Sefer that says the Imazam, they cannot do Zimun. Why not? Why is three women different than, let's say, of two women and one slave? On that, you would still have the Gemara's question and answer, and therefore Tay says not to have the Girsa of Ihachi. The next Taisa and Masl Taisa begins the words of the Gemara. Rav Zvid Amar, he says Baruch Hu Umevarech, which the Gemara brings a machlekes, which ultimately the Gemara says is not a machlekes, that regarding if someone comes in from the street and he finds three people that they're starting to bench and they're doing the Birchas Azimut, what should he answer after that? Rav Zvid said he says Baruch Hu Umevarech. Rav Papa says he answers Amen. So Taisa says Ubahag Pasek, the Baal Halachas Gedolos, he rules, which is known as the acronym of Baishis Loi, which you answer Baruch Hu. The blessed is he, Umavaruch Shemai, and his name is blessed, Tamed, constantly, La'olam Vad, forever and ever. That's what, when he say Baruch Umavaruch, that's the text that should be said. Now, Viyav Asar, and if there's a minion that was benching, so Ani Basrayu, he answers after them similarly, but adding on the word, Baruch Elikenu, Umavaruch Shemai, Tamed, La'olam Vad. Now, we're going to the next taste of Ramaslo. Here's again the words of the Gemara. Habbani Yerushalayim. Oh, that's not a contradiction. Here's talking about the bracha ben Yerushalayim. Habishah brachas. Here's talking about by other brachas. Which Taisa is coming to explain why is the bracha ben Yerushalayim and benching different than other brachas. Now, the Gemara had asked a question. One brisa it's brought that if someone answers amen after his own bracha, that's praiseworthy. And the other brisa it says if he answers amen after his bracha, it's disgraceful. And the Gemara says not a contradiction. By ben Yerushalayim, that's praiseworthy. But by other brachas, that's disgraceful. So Pirish Rach Vahag, so the Rabbeinu Chananel and the Halachas Gedolos, they bring that the Yesh Mefarshim, someone explain that actually B'chol Bracha Bracha. This doesn't mean just only by Bein Yerushalayim. It's by any single Bracha, K'goin Acha Yishtabach, or K'yitzabai, whenever you're finishing a topic, like Yishtabach, which is finishing off the Pesuk of the Zimra, or the last Bracha in Shemayin Esther, whenever you're ending off something, then one could go ahead and answer Amen, that's Meshubach, to answer Amen on the last Bracha that you said. But Amir, however, Taisa says, "Puk chazim ayam devar." Go out and see what the minig ha'olam is, what the custom of the world is, and actually, that no, shaloi nagulanas amen. The custom is not to answer amen. Alach ha'bayin yushalayim the brachas of Muslim. The only one, as is our custom, that we say, "Bayin brachamav yushalayim amen." We answer amen after on bracha. Taisa says the custom is only after the bracha bayin yushalayim. Continuing next Taisa, the Masal Taisa begins with the words of the Gemara. Rav Ashi ani li b'lechish. Rav Ashi, he said that amen silently, which Taisa explains that that's actually how we rule. The Gemara, as we mentioned, regarding the answering the Amen after Bayin Yerushalayim, so Abaye, he would say that Amen loud. Why would he do that? So that the workers who are there by the meal, they should know that obviously benching is, at least the biblical benching is over, and they should go to work because they only do the biblical brachas. And therefore, he would say it loud. They should go back to work. But Rav Ashi, he would say it silently so that they shouldn't come to disgrace Berchas HaTev HaMetiv, that they're going to say, oh, it's not biblical, okay, whatever, you don't really have to say it, it's the rabbis, whatever, so not to disgrace it, he would say it silently. And says Taisa V'chim Pasik B'Hag, so too the Baal Lachas Gedolos rules of Gravashi, that the Amen that one says, one should say it silently, so that it shouldn't sound like, okay, benching's over, and people will disgrace the fourth bracha of benching, that a Berchas HaTev HaMetiv, even though it's not biblical. Now, void moreover says Taisus, Liddi dan de lekapoyalim, according to our custom that we don't have quote unquote the workers. In other words, we don't have this custom that workers only bench the three brachas of Berachas Hamazon. Rather, we have the custom that workers, they are allowed by their employers to do a regular benching. So then afil abayim, the Taisus actually says that it's not just like we're ruling like Ravashi. Even Abayi would agree that there's no reason to say the Amen of Bein Yushlaim out loud so that the workers should go to work because they're not going anyway. And therefore, again, one could even say that that would be appropriate to say it not loud, silently, so that people shouldn't know that, oh, we're done with benching. Oh, what's this other ones? They're just add-ons and not necessary. Again, we don't want people to disgrace the rabbinic bracha of Hatev HaMeitim. Therefore, the halacha is, as Tesis brings it, is to say balachesh, is to say it soundly.